Now, in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, there lived a man, and we are going to find out about him here. And I want to read verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy manner of life of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now, the word that interests me here, first of all, is that word vex. It doesn't, to my thinking, convey what actually Peter's really saying here. Now, the word in the Greek, and I've been referring to that in the Epistle of Peter, because of the fact that this man, they say, does not use good Greek. And yet I've had to look up more words in the Greek that he's used than even Paul the Apostle. Now, the word here that he uses is katoponeo. And it means, according to Trench, to tire down with toil, to exhaust with labor. It means to afflict, to oppress with evil, actually to torment. You know that one of the methods that communism is used, and apparently it's used now in many places, even in our own country, that you can break down an individual by constantly putting him under a bright light and constantly plaguing him with questions and pulling out his fingernails and doing all manner of torture to him. Well, this word has that in it. This man, Lot, in the city of Sodom, he vexed his soul. He was never happy there. He was tormented on the inside. It was torture for him to live in Sodom. And I never got that impression reading Genesis, by the way. And I'm glad Peter came along, because I'm apt to say that I don't think Lot was saved. And I'll be honest with you, when I read the story back there of Lot, I come to the conclusion that when he went down to the city of Sodom, he went overboard and he lost most of his family and the two single daughters that he got out with him. When you read the story, you sort of wish they'd stayed back there in the city. But the interesting thing is that God got him out of the city of Sodom. And all of this is given to us, we're told, as an example. Example of what? Well, first of all, may I say that I think that you and I are going to get two big surprises when we get to heaven. Number one will be, there are going to be some people that are not there that we thought were going to make it. They won't be there. They really weren't genuine, but we thought they were. And then I think the biggest shock that we're going to get is this. There are going to be some people there that we never even suspected were real born-again children of God down here. Now, the reason is they didn't have very much of a testimony. I don't think this man Lot had any testimony at all. You remember when the angels came and said that the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed? Why, he went around to his sons-in-law and he said, "Say, I've got word from God. He's going to destroy this city. He's going to judge it. Let's leave." They ridiculed him. Why, they said, "We don't believe you, old man. The kind of life you've been living down here doesn't reveal to us that you have had very much faith and confidence in God." You see, he didn't have any testimony at all. And I would have come to the conclusion, if I only had Genesis, I'd be willing to make the statement, well, Lot didn't make it. He was not a saved man. But I can't say that, because it says, and he delivered just Lot. Well, it doesn't mean just Lot. Two of his daughters went with him, and his wife went with him also. But she didn't get too far away. And delivered just Lot, who was tormented with the filthy manner of life of the wicked. He didn't go for that. He hated that. He was a just man. Now, that means he was justified before God because he trusted God as Abraham did. He and Abraham were related. This man, Lot, trusted God, but he didn't lead a life like Abraham that was a testimony to the world. Lot stands on the page of Scripture as a saint of God who was justified because of his faith, but his life denied everything that he believed, and he never had a moment's peace down here. Now, the interesting thing is that this man dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, just think of the filth that that man had to listen to. Think of all of that. Very candidly, I do not believe a child of God can ever engage continually in filthy conversation. And filthy conversation will lead to filthy action, as we'll see in this chapter as we move down through it. Now, there's another lesson here, and it's the greatest lesson of all. And it's this. God said to this man, Lot, you will have to get out of the city. And he said, I can't destroy. And back up yonder was a man by the name of Abraham who was not criticizing Lot. He was praying for him. And by the way, that's a good lesson for many of us. I asked a man the other day, he's a preacher and he's been a friend of mine, but he criticizes everything and everybody today, and he criticized an outstanding Bible teacher today, one that I have respect for and know that God has mightily used him, and this man is criticizing him. And I said to him, looking him right straight in the eye, I said, have you ever prayed for him? And he turned red, and he said he hadn't. Well, I said, instead of criticizing him, why don't you pray for him? Pray for him if you think he's wrong. Now, Abraham, you remember, prayed for the city of Sodom. Oh, God, if there are 50 righteous down there. And he wanted his nephew to be spared, and he didn't think he would be because he stopped at 10. He was afraid that Lot was not really a child of God, but he was, and God got him out. God says, I can't destroy the city till you get out. And Miss Lot went with him. Now, she turned and looked back, turned to a pillar of salt. Now, somebody says, that sounds strange, just turning and looking back. Well, my friend, it's what turning and looking back means. Why did she look back? Because she might have walked out of Sodom, but she left her heart back in Sodom. Because I tell you, she was intertwined in everything that took place in that time. She belonged to the country club, the Shakespeare club, and every other kind of club. The bridge club. And they were having a meeting that afternoon anyway, and she wanted to go. And I think she plagued Lot and said, why do we have to leave like this? And then another reason is she turned and looked back because she didn't believe God would destroy the city. He did. Turned her to a pillar of salt, and God got Lot out. My friend, may I say this to you? That at the time of the rapture, it'll take place before the great tribulation comes, before the judgment comes, because God will not let any of his saints, even those that are like Lot, the weakest saint, will be taken out. If Lot made it, and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you can be sure of one thing, you're going out too. This is another marvelous example of the fact the church does not go through the great tribulation period. They've been justified by faith in Christ, and this man was justified. Now, will you notice? Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, out of testing. Now, somebody says, I believe the church is going through the great tribulation. I'd just like to say to you, God knows how to deliver his own. You may not know how, but God knows how, and he also knows how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, God knows the difference between the two. I don't. The wheat and tares are growing together today. And he said to his own, you let them alone. Let them both grow together. I'm not worried about tares today. Oh, I must confess, I wish there weren't so many of them, but wheat and tares are growing, and the Word of God is getting out today. This is a glorious day in which to live. One of these days, he'll make the separation when he takes his own out of this world.